we've taken the pulpit mic out of the equation. Is that it? Right. Okay. That thing's still acting up, so we're gonna give it a holiday today and take it back to the doctor. Tell him to give it some new organs or something. John chapter 4. What we're talking about today is the idea that, well, let's just read there. Look at the second full paragraph on that inside page there, the charge to witness. This is ground that we've already covered, but I'm just going to kind of gloss over it a little bit to get you warmed up to the idea of what we're talking about this morning. Witnessing is not a gift. It is a precious privilege of the born-again baptized believer. Some circles hold to the idea that not all Christians have a gift to witness. Well, you know, if your boss at work says, go down and pick up that load of wood and bring it up to the tool shop, you don't say, well, I don't have the gift of hauling wood, okay? And see how foolish it sounds? This is our boss. Jesus Christ is our boss. He's our master. We call him Lord, and we can't come back to him and say, well, we don't have the gift of doing the work that you've commanded us to do. Let's look on there. It says the pastor, they believe the pastor and church leaders are the ones gifted for such work. There's not one scripture that shows that witnessing is to be limited to the church leadership, and so on. I'm going to look at some examples of witnessing, and this, what I'm talking about right now, is going to springboard us into the next page of different types of witnessing. You know, not every single person do I come up to them in this fashion. But it's not every single person I come up to and say, if you died today, would you go to heaven? Without even saying anything to them. Now, I'm not saying I don't do that quite a bit. But you might try something like this first. Hello, sir. How are you? I'm from Bethel Baptist Church. You might try a little bit of introductory. Try to pave your way a little bit. Now, that being said, you still have to get down to the meat and potatoes of the thing. I've been out with, I can't tell you how many different people I've been out on visitation with, and some people, they'll talk about the Browns, and they'll talk about the Steelers, and they'll talk about the Indians, and they'll talk about politics, and somehow we just walk right out that door without ever talking about Jesus Christ and his eternal destination. There's something wrong with that. That's not witnessing. That's visiting and having a conversation with somebody. You can do that anytime. But it all starts with what I call level one. And that's going like this. Hey, sir. This is level one. Level one is, hey, Jim, haven't seen you in a little while. I want to talk to you about something. You know, something happened to me about a year ago. That's actual witnessing. What happened to me? And so I tell Jim what happened in my life. That's personal one-on-one witnessing. Then you get beyond that. The next level is I go up to somebody I've never met before, never seen. Hey, sir, how are you doing today? Would you take that and read that when you get a chance? That'll tell you how you can go to heaven and know it. That takes about 5 seconds or less to do that. That's level two. Everybody... And I say this to anybody, everybody can at least do level two. Anybody can do that. And you say, well, I don't have that, you know, ability. I'm too shy. Let's talk about something else. You know, when you say, where is he going with this? In the middle of the winter time, you get a big snowstorm. Okay, and there's 2-3 feet on the 2-3 feet of snow on the ground. What happens in your neighborhood? Let's say somebody gets stuck in their driveway. What happens normally in most places? Laborers come out and help. People come out of the woodwork, don't they? Guys bring their four-wheelers out with little plow blades on it and a chain. And it's these guys you never even knew they lived there, right? They come out of nowhere. And you get to talking to them, oh, well, I just live two houses over. I live right here. Or I just live right across the street down, you know. And you find out where these people are. Suddenly, because there's a little bit of adversity, not much, but a little bit of adversity, everybody kind of comes into a community effect and joins in to help each other, don't they? I've done it. Help pull people out of the ditch, you know, push their car back on the road. If we can do that, and these people are virtual strangers, you know, we see they're in trouble, right? We see they can't get their car back on the road. Wouldn't you say this is just a little bit more important? Just a little bit more important than some dumb car sitting in a ditch somewhere? You know, but yet we ignore it. We ignore it. And constantly, and I'll talk more about it later, but constantly people are actually, if you listen to what they're saying to you, they're saying, please help me. I'm looking for the answers to life, and nobody will show it to me. You have to read between the lines, but it's there. Even the proud, cocky, arrogant, know-it-all people, they're saying the same thing. But we don't listen too much. We take more time talking than we do listening. I want to show you something here in John chapter 4. Very familiar passage. We'll turn that off for a minute. Turn this back on. All right. John chapter 4 talks about the woman at the well. This is one of the best stories of soul winning in the entire Bible. I believe that. Because it's so up to date. And we're not going to take the whole time to tell all about it, but look at down at John 4 and verse 13. Okay, now the Lord has just started a couple of opening lines to this woman. He uses an illustration that's right in front of him, the well, the water. And he says in verse 13 there, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water, pointing at the well, shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She still didn't get it, did she? She wasn't there yet. Look at what he says in verse 16. Jesus saith unto her, go, call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Well, no duh. You know, I just feel like telling this woman, no duh. He just told you your innermost secrets that you've kept hidden from the entire community, and yet you say, I think you're a prophet. I just think that's funny. But now let's look at what happens. What did Jesus Christ tell her? You take this water, you're going to get thirsty again. You take the water that I can give you, you'll never thirst again. You'll have everlasting life. And look at what she does with the information. Look at the next verse. What does she say? Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. She changes the subject and starts talking about religion. How many have ever been soul winning and had that happen to you? Happens all the time. Do you see how some things never change? It could be 3,000 years later, and it's the same soul winning as it is today. We go out all the time, and you start talking about a person's eternal destination, and they want to talk religion. They want to get it. No, I don't want to think about me dying and going to hell. Let's talk about religion. And, you know, Jesus Christ, he gave her a little small answer there and kind of, you know, answered the question, but went right back to what she needed to talk about. He steered her right back around to the fact that, hey, I'm the Messiah. I can give you eternal life. Now I want to show you something more important. This is proof that she got saved. Look at what it says here. Let's see, where'd we go now? I lost my place there. And look at verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She believed he was the Messiah. She at this point had accepted Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. And so, now what's the next thing she did after she accepted Christ as her Savior? What's the next thing she did? She went and told everybody she knew about it. She went and told everybody she knew about it. Crank me back up there, John, on blue. But you know, if a new steakhouse comes into town, yeah, this town needs one. Let me tell you, this town needs some help when it comes to food. Now they got the pizza going; they got the pizza down. Okay, you got a lot of Italians around here, I think, but they got the pizza licked. It's time to move on to bigger and better things. Let's get some steak, but a nice salad bar. But you ever go to a new restaurant in town? And you sit down, and it's comfortable seating. Boy, isn't this nice, and lots of ambiance here, you know, mood lighting, real nice here, and listen to the nice music playing, and oh, did you have that salad bar up there yet, honey? Ooh, you got to get some of that. It's fresh. And then that steak comes, and you tear into that steak, and it's tender, and the waiter was so nice. You leave him a big tip, and look at the bill. It's so cheap. Yeah, yes, I'm living in fantasy land. But what happens after you have a good experience at a restaurant? What do? You tell other people. You say, hey, have you been down to Joe's Crab Shack yet? Never have been there, but it's some dumb commercial I saw on television. But did you go down to the steakhouse yet? Oh, man, the buffet and the salad bar and, oh, they got everything. You got to go. You got to get down there. Come on, let's get, you know, all four of us will go down there this weekend. Come on, let's go. And it's almost like you don't take no for an answer. Why don't we do that with soul winning? We've got the greatest secret, the greatest miracle in the world living inside of us right now. I've got eternal life. You've got eternal life. We know Jesus Christ is our personal Lord and Savior, and yet we don't tell anybody about it. You say, well, I was out on visitation. So was I. How about every other day of the week? Every day, that should be our driving force inside of us. You know what? I'll tell you when you know when you're at the place you need to be is when you look at strangers and you think to yourself, I wonder about him. I wonder about her. I wonder about them. I wonder if they're lost. I wonder if they're lost. I wonder if they're lost. It's time for us to quit wandering and start finding out. Amen? You know, people go from door to door all the time. Oh, I'm taking a poll. I'm taking a survey. You Republican, Democrat, what are you? Maybe we should start doing some poll taking. It only takes 5 minutes to go like this. Somebody time me. Somebody got a stopwatch? Or 5 seconds, I meant. Somebody got a stopwatch? Or just you tell me go. Hi, sir. My name's Mark. I want you to take a moment and read that, if you would, please, to tell you how you can go to heaven. 5 seconds. I could do that 10 times in a day, and that's less than 1 minute out of my entire life. 365 minutes a year, and I can't spend 365 minutes out of a year? Come on now. Well, I don't have the gift. That's not a gift. I had a man back in Indiana that I was talking to. He swore up and down that he was saved, and yet everything would point to the opposite, including his philosophy, which is what I don't look so much at a person's life. I mean, I do somewhat, but I listen to how they think. How a person thinks will tell you what's in their heart. And so Scott, he said, well, you know, we're both Christians. I said, okay. And he said, but Mark, I don't believe in that kind of stuff like you do about pushing my religion off on somebody. on somebody else. I believe in live and let live. I said, no, Scott, you believe in live and let die. He said, what do you mean? I said, now, you know I'm a preacher, right? Right. Okay, you know that I believe in telling everybody I know about Jesus Christ, right? Right. I said, let's say, for instance, I was driving down the road at 3 a.m., and I passed your house, and I saw smoke coming out of the bedroom window. And I said, wow, stinks to be Scott. I'm on my way home. I got to get down to the Circle K because I got to get a big sip. And so I get home, and the next day I come to work and no Scott. The next day I come to work and no Scott. Next day I come to work and no Scott. Finally, Scott shows up to work, and I say, hey, man, where you been? He's like, oh, you wouldn't believe it. My house just practically burned down. We were lucky we got out with our lives. Something happened in the wiring, and we just pretty much lost. The house is going to be a total loss. And my response to you is, oh, yeah, I was kind of wondering about that. I saw that. I was driving past your place there Friday night, and I saw that. I saw smoke coming out the window. What would you say to me? And he immediately went into the flesh, and he said, I would say to you, how dare you? I said, exactly. How dare me? I've got the secret to eternal life. And how dare me pass up opportunities to give out that secret to eternal life? How dare you, sir? How dare you, ma'am? How dare you? How dare I? See, it kind of puts it in a little different light, doesn't it? Puts it in a little different light. Anybody can do what this woman here did. Hey, everybody, I got something to tell you. Look at this church I go to. This preacher we got down there is crazy. He talks about food all the time. And he's hilarious. He's very animated. All those things are true. You got one of the best preachers here I've ever met. And I know a bunch of them. You got one of the best preachers here I know. And you've got something special here, folks. We need to be out telling people about it. If you can't get somebody to come to church, you can pull a track out of your pocket and say, hey, when you get a second, read that. You know, those toll booth people have finally caught on to me. They don't give me the time of day anymore. I can't even give a track to the toll booth people anymore. Get that out of here. Get that out of here. I still get them at McDonald's and Wendy's, though. Look at Mark chapter 1. This is the story about a leper. And the leper comes to Jesus and says he wants, you know, the Lord to heal him. Look there at verse 40. He says, there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. What is that right there? That's a statement of what? Faith. It takes two things to get saved. It takes faith and repentance. He has faith. And it says, and as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. He blazed abroad the matter. Next time we pass lost people, and we pass them all the time in droves, I would say probably the average person, I figure I'm kind of an average guy, I probably run into 20 strangers a day. Some of you more. Some of you that have professions where you're out in the public all the time, or maybe you're in construction, or you work outdoors, that kind of stuff, you probably run into 40 people a day. And, you know, we say, oh, I don't really run into that many people. You got to sit down and count them up. Sit down and count them up. Did you get gas today? Did you go to the bank today? You say, oh, but those people are there all the time. But did you ever talk to them? Did you ever take a minute and talk to them? You know, I got a missionary friend of mine. He says that one thing that it took them a long time to get used to in other countries is, and I noticed this when we were in Mexico, when you're in line, like at the bank, or if you go up, say you give your money at the gas station, they don't do like they do in America and say, here, 5 on 10, and walk out the door. Hi, how are you doing? How's your kids? What's your name again? And they'll have a half an hour conversation with 10 people behind them. They don't care. They don't, just don't care. Imagine if we had that in America. Yeah, somebody probably would get shot. But you know what? There'd be a whole lot more tracts passed out, I think. A whole lot more souls saved, I think. But why don't we tell them? Why don't we tell them? You say, well, I'm nervous. You know what? I've been saved for 28 years. I still get nervous. You know what? If I don't go soul winning for a while, that first door I go back up to, it's kind of like this. I'll go, well, I guess nobody's home. And that's just your flesh. You know, you got to get warmed up. And the best way to avoid that is go soul winning all the time. If you go all the time, you'll never get back to that, oh boy, I'll just rub on it. Maybe I'm sure they could hear that. If you go all the time, you don't have that so much. But if you don't go very often, you'll have those cold feet all the time. But you got to force yourself. Make yourself. Get out there and do it. It should be something that is inside of us. And you know, a lot of it is this too. And I know I'm just kind of blabbing here, but I think it's important. A lot of it is this too. If you are not dwelling on your own personal salvation, and you're not in that book enough, you're not on your knees enough, it's not going to be in your heart about what Christ did for you. You just kind of, oh, well, thanks, Lord, for the whole eternal life thing. No, what we need to be focusing on, folks, is this. This man, this woman here, I've never met him before, and I need to envision that person burning in hell. And not just for a second, for years and billions and trillions of years of time, and for all eternity, they're falling, they're screaming, they're falling, they're burning, they're screaming and burning and falling. And yet we don't want to, we're just like the lost people, we don't want to think about it. You know, well, thanks, Lord, for the fire escape. I don't want to think about that no more because it's uncomfortable to think about. It should be uncomfortable to think about. It should keep us awake at night. And yet, some of us just sleep as sound as little babies. Every day of my life, I've got a brother-in-law that's lost. He's self-proclaimed atheist, raised Catholic and self-proclaimed atheist. I beg God. I cry for that man every single day of my life. And I truly envision him in flames. I envision that man screaming his head off, saying, oh God! Oh, it hurts! And yeah, too late. That's right. Well, what do you say after that? It's a witness. Look at the next page. I was just bound and determined I was going to get one up on the preacher here somehow, or Brother Dave, you know. Let's turn the page already, amen? I like some new stuff once in a while. Turn to Jude, and we're going to look at that. Verse 21. verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. It takes work. It takes work. That's a whole sermon right there. But we got to move on. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And this is the verse. And of some have compassion, making a difference. You know what? If we had compassion on people the way we ought to, we could make more of a difference. But we're so stuck on A number one. You know, and I do the same thing. But who do you pray for? Me, my job situation, my finances, my kids. You pray over your kids at night. Lord, keep them safe while they're out away from me. You pray for your spouse. Lord, keep her away from Walmart. Lord, let her pass by them garage sales with blinders on. It takes prayer in my house, buddy. Fasting. This kind goeth not forth but by prayer and fasting. I'm going to be buried at Walmart so my wife will come visit me when I die. But what do we pray for? We pray for numero uno, A number one, all about me, all about my needs. I think what encapsulates this the best is, I remember I buried a young man about 17 years old. Him and his four buddies were flying down the road, and he put his brand new Camaro right underneath a tractor trailer, and it just pretty much cleaned him off. They were doing in excess of 100 miles an hour, and it took care of that boy real fast. But you know what stuck with me about that is we went to the high school and tried to counsel with some of the teenagers. He was one of the most popular kids in the high school. And one of the girls was just sobbing. And you know what her reaction was? She said, "Why did it have to be somebody I know?" She just took all the focus off of that family and off of that boy and put it back on herself. That's how we live in America. It's not the fact that kid, and we're the same way in some respects, it's not the fact of the loss of a life or a grieving family, it's how it affects me. God help us. God help us in America. You know what happened to Rome? You know what happened to Rome? It was all about number one. It was all about number one. They had too many, they had too much sports and had too much welfare. That's a fact. Think about that for a minute. That's what collapsed Rome, sports and welfare. Yeah, sounds familiar, yes. That's a whole other topic. But we ought to be having compassion. Forget about yourself and your own problems for just 5 minutes and think about, wow, what's that guy going through over there? Man, what about that woman over there? Is she lost? How's her home? Is her home broken? What is she going through in her life? What are those people going through in their lives? Care. Force yourself to care. Think about somebody else except yourself. And when you do, you know what will happen? As a God-fearing Christian that most of you are, you'll say, wow, I wonder if they're saved. I need to go find out. Here, I'll go give them this. And you know what? We will make a difference. If we have compassion, we'll make a difference. But what the author here is trying to say, there's two different approaches. This compassionate approach is probably about 85% of all my soul winning. Oh, now I get to say it. Just hang on a minute. We'll be there. But that's about 85% of my soul winning. When a person says, no, I don't want none of that junk, I'll say, well, sir, it'll show you how you can get to heaven. I don't want it. Okay, have a nice day. But occasionally, the Holy Spirit will influence me to go to number two. Look at principle number two. There's some who need to be rudely reminded of their sin and where it is taking them. Where it is taking them. And what it's talking about, if you read through that, it talks about in verse 23 there, says, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. You know what? Let's go back to that illustration I gave about driving by the guy's house that's got, you know, fire coming out the bedroom window. Now, I can go up and say, Scott, got a little bit of smoke coming out the window there, buddy. Might want to wake up now. Is that what a fireman would do? What's a fireman going to do? He's going to take that ladder, smash it through the bedroom window, get up there and say, get out of here, the place is on fire, hurry up. Do we do that? Do we care that much? And sometimes that needs to be done. Sometimes it doesn't. That's where the Holy Spirit needs to direct you on that. But there's been many a time when I've had that where a person say, get your junk off my porch. You know how it goes in some instances. I don't want to hear that garbage. Take your baloney down to that guy down there. He's a Christian. He'll listen to you. And if they get too harsh like that, I'll just say, sir, you're going to remember this meeting 5,000 years from tonight. You're going to remember these words that you told me to get lost. And usually they get meaner and madder. You know what? Sometimes, for change, a person has to get mad. They have to get mad before they can get glad. Just like, and you think about your own life in different ways, and we need to get mad before we get glad sometimes. Caution about principle number two. Let's look at that now. Down at the bottom of the page, there's something wrong with our witness if we use only the second principle in our approach to lost souls. I've been out on soul winning where the guy says, well, good, fine, nine go to hell then, I don't care. You know, I just want to turn and say, will you shut your fat mouth? If you don't care, I care, so shut up and go back and sit in the car. You know, you ever feel like that? I've wanted to tell people that. And okay, shock therapy works once in a while, but sometimes it's not the right time. Sometimes it's not the right time. You better let the Holy Spirit guide you on that. I think we've got a whole growing crop of angry Christians out there, bitter Christians, mean Christians. That's not the way. You never see that in the Bible. You know what? The Lord, he only rebuked one set of people, and those were the Pharisees, the hypocrites. But he knew their hearts. We don't. We don't have that opportunity. Think about that as you go. And most importantly, go. Let's pray. Lord, we love you today. Thank you, Father, for the lesson time. Dear God, as we look on these principles and lessons, Father, stir our hearts to revival in America, Father, for soul winning. The only hope for America is soul winning. The only hope for this world is soul winning. And soul warning, as our preacher would say, so true. God, direct us as we go. Now, I know this is not a church time. This is a Sunday school time. But I want to ask every hand, every head bowed, every eye closed. I'd like to ask by the upraised hand, maybe there'd be somebody here today that would say, Brother Thompson, I'll be fair with you. I'm not regular in my soul winning. But before God, I'm going to start. Here's my hand. Yes, God bless you. Yes, yes, several. God bless you. Thank you. I'm not regular, but I'm going to start. It takes so little of our time, folks, so little. Lord, you've seen the hands. You know the hearts. I pray, God, now that we'll be more active and see more souls come to Christ than ever before in 2008 and 2009. Bless us as we start our next service time in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.